what they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com, the one show Joe Rogan is afraid of. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EddieExperience1E in the middle. And joining me as always, his jokes are drier than Lincoln Riley's brisket, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, did you see Lincoln Riley's brisket on Twitter?
I did see that. You know, I mean, Lincoln Riley, I mean, you're not, Oklahoma, you're not going to have some good brisket there. You're not Texas. Don't. What are you trying to do?
He apparently doesn't put the same passion into his meat as he does his passing game.
Okay. Well, I mean, Oklahoma has been pretty impressive over the last little bit. So, Eddie, it is great to see you. I'm not sure why you're wearing a hood now.
It's playoff meat, apparently.
why are you playing? What's going on? Why are you wearing a hood?
Oh, just playing around.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's hilarious. Eddie, it's great to see you. It's been a week, and, you know, a lot has gone on. We had no UFC fights. We had Bellator make its 2021 debut. We had Easter Sunday. I heard you went and saw a movie. There is so much going on, Eddie.
Oh, my goodness. We got a new basketball coach here in Austin?
That's true. You did.
Yeah.
How excited are you for Chris Beard?
I'm happy to see the change that Abilene Christian game completely finished me on Shaka. But I'm a little worried that we just went out and got the first thing that we wanted and didn't really do our due diligence. That worries me a little bit.
Do you think
when Oklahoma goes and gets the guy from Loyola Chicago, I'm like, did we try? Did we study?
Do you think when Roy Williams announced that he was stepping down, that he was retiring, right? Do you think that made them panic a little bit and Chris Del Conte had to go to a McDonald's in Plainview and get that deal done?
No, I don't think there was any panic. I'm pretty sure it was well done before then. They were just waiting till the first because that's when his buyout dropped by like $2 or $3 million to Tech. So it saved him a couple million dollars by waiting. But it was already done. But I did go to a movie.
Yeah, tell me about it. I want to hear about this movie. What did you go see?
I went to see the Bob Odenkirk movie, Nobody.
Okay.
Which it's a little like Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Except for with Angelina Jolie.
Right.
So it's much like Mr. Smith.
Yeah. It's only him. Except, you know, he's obviously not as pretty, not as beautiful as them.
Yeah. I mean, when I think of Brad Pitt, you know, the guy who first comes to mind is Bob Odenkirk.
Bob Odenkirk, so, yeah.
Yeah, Better Call Saul, yeah. So.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you, it was a fun movie. I liked it a lot when it was loud. Because when it got quiet, I could hear the fat dude down the road from me snoring. This dude was out before the opening credits were over.
Snoring, so he was asleep.
He was asleep. It was just... And the whole movie. I was waiting on like his friends to like elbow him, wake him up or something. I don't know if they tried. There were like 3 seats between us for social distancing. You know, theater was maybe 20% full at the most. But the whole movie, the dude's sleeping.
I've been there, Eddie. I've been that guy before that falls asleep in a movie. And, you know, I'm grateful that my friends never left me, that they didn't just leave me in the theater. But
that would have been great.
I think it was like the last Jason Bourne, the one with Jeremy Renner. I was out, and I just remember waking up during the credits. I'm not above sleeping in a movie theater, let's be honest.
I'm telling you, man, that's an expensive nap.
Yeah, it can be. That's true.
So. Yeah, you could just stay home and save $20.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah. I try to get soda, try to get popcorn, try to get things that'll keep me awake. And then at the end, sometimes I'm just back there asleep. So,
man, I finished my hot dog before the movie even started. I'm sitting there. I still got my Sour Patch Kids. I didn't even open them at the movie. And, yeah. But it was a fun time. It was great to, like, have a little bit of normalcy.
Yeah. No, I'm sure. We had a wonderful Easter. We went and did a egg hunt with friends up in, up in Jonestown. We have some friends who have some property. And it was a wonderful time. And then on Saturday, we had soccer games for the kids. We had water polo for the high school team, which was great. And it was and a barbecue that night, and then Easter Sunday. So it was.
Wait, did your team win?
You know what? We did not win. It was a learning. It's like John Kavanaugh says, win or learn. And
I'm about to put you on the Shaka train as far as a water polo coach.
We're going to have to do some learning, and that learning is going to require some sprints, I think. And so we'll be learning a little bit more this week. So
it's harsh, dude. Well, while you're learning, could you teach FedEx not to lose packages?
Yeah, I mean, I got no issue with. I'm not really over that one. I don't have any control over how FedEx does on this one.
Look, man. Remember, I told you I bought a new phone.
I remember you bought a phone on eBay, Eddie. I tried to tell you not to.
Instead of buying the S21, I bought the S20 for like half price off eBay. That part's fine, but I went to sell my S9 to Cell Shark, and you know they send you the FedEx label and everything. You just have to wrap it up and send it off. I did that a month ago. It is stuck somewhere in Missouri. Call FedEx. They're like, since it's been more than 2 weeks, we just consider it lost. That's it. They just stop. They don't care.
So they're not doing
$150 a month. No, $150 of mine out the window because FedEx sucks. No one's answering my emails or my tweets. You know what? I'm just sticking with good old USPS from now on.
I'm sorry for you, Eddie. I'm sorry that happened. Hey, congratulations to the Baylor Bears, NCAA champions. And I guess you got to say the Stanford Cardinal. But the worst part, Eddie, about Baylor
those private schools are killing it.
The national championship
is being near Baylor alum.
Listening to Baylor fans, it's got to be.
Yes, exactly. Now, I've got some family up in Waco, and, you know, for the life of me, I can't figure out how you get a kid, anyone under 35, to live in Waco, you know, unless you're going there for Magnolia Cafe or whatever those people are on HGTV.
Silos, of course.
Or unless you're trying to get out of Killeen, I don't see why anyone would go to Waco. So I'm not saying they're doing anything dirty. I'm just saying I don't trust what they're doing.
I can see that. Eddie, a little fun fact. My brother-in-law, his brother-in-law. All right, my brother-in-law, which would be I am my brother-in-law's brother-in-law, but on the different side. So different side, not me. He actually won.
Your wife's brother's brother-in-law.
Nope, it's actually my wife's sister. Her husband. His sister. Husband, okay, so like outlaw. Anyway,
so not even related to you, okay?
No, not related to me at all. He won the tournament challenge on ESPN.
What?
He was first place. What? He's a dentist in Lehi, Utah, and he won ESPN's tournament challenge.
The entire thing.
His name is Crisly Bear. His name is Chris, but he gave himself the name Crisly Bear. I don't know why.
I've
met him at the wedding when they got married. But
is he hairy?
No.
Got a big beard?
Nope. He won. Oh. He won the tournament challenge. And you would think maybe he won like an Acura or a, you know, some prize. He didn't. He didn't win a prize.
Judging by the commercials, I would guess AT&T stuff.
Yeah, that'd be true. He's entered into a raffle with everyone else that is in the 99th percentile, and which could be a lot of people. So that's definitely interesting. I did not win my bracket. I was not happy. I had a chance. If Gonzaga would have won, I would have won a gift card to Perry's in a bracket I was in.
Oh, nice.
But I didn't. I didn't win that, so it doesn't matter.
I won my work bracket, but we don't win anything. No. We're not allowed to gamble at work.
That's good. You probably shouldn't. So, well, Eddie, let's talk Let's talk Bellator 255 this past weekend. Eddie, I'll be honest. This was a fun. It was fun to see it in so many different places. On YouTube, on Hulu, on Showtime, right? On MMA Junkie, you could watch it. Didn't see it on the Horn. I don't know what we. How could we even get that going? But in the end, you had Patricio Pitbull Ferreira defeat Emmanuel Sanchez via technical submission, a guillotine choke. And a technical submission means that the guy is passed out. So he submitted him, choked him unconscious.
Well, first off, maybe next time we can get it on our new Twitch channel. How about that?
I saw that. Now, how do we get on the Twitch channel?
I don't think anyone wants to see us.
Do we have to go in studio?
I think so.
That makes it a little bit more difficult. Pitbull, though.
Especially considering they don't want us in the studio.
That's true. He might just be the best lightweight, possibly featherweight still, but definitely lightweight in the world. He finished Michael Chandler, who we know is going to fight for a UFC lightweight title, UFC 262 in Houston. He defeated him back in May 2019, 61 seconds finished him. This is the guy who is the featherweight and lightweight champion. I don't know if he's better than Alexander Volkanovski. Maybe. We'll never know, right? Unless he were to make the move over to the UFC. But Patricio, he is the real deal.
You know what? I'm just going to go out on a limb and say I think he is better than Volkanovski. Volkanovski may have an advantage in his technical stand-up, but Pitbull's got power. He's got the submissions. When he locks on that guillotine, you are dead to the world.
All right, how about this? I have a better question for you.
Okay.
Is he better than Max Holloway? And that's us saying that we think that Max Holloway is already better than Alexander Volkanovski. That's literally what we're saying, right?
Well, see, I've never seen Max on the ground. So I'm going to say, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say it.
You're saying he is the best featherweight, and we'll find out if he's the best lightweight in the world. We'll find out. If Charles Oliveira defeats Michael Chandler, then you know maybe he doesn't have a case. So,
well, if Chandler wins and then is able to defeat Dustin Poirier, then I would give it to Pitbull because he beat Chandler by the transitive property of MMA math.
Well, but so last I'm week, Eddie, we spoke with Bellator analyst Josh Thompson, and he said that he believes that Patricio, and he also mentioned welterweight champion Douglas Lima, are the best Bellator fighters ever. So you got to think that Bellator is ecstatic with the results of their Bellator Featherweight Grand Prix. You have arguably the best Bellator fighter ever against AJ McKee, who's fought every single, he's homegrown in Bellator, right? Every single fight in his career is from Bellator. They're hoping the fight is going to be in June. But either way, I mean, you've got to think that's like the ultimate scenario they possibly could have been hoping for.
Yeah, and that's even leaving out someone like Ben Askren, who's like completely undefeated in Bellator, or undefeated until he got to the UFC. I mean, he is up there. And yeah, it's so perfect that it is like Bellator's best ever against their new homegrown talent. Like the young lion against the old lion. This is a great matchup. It's going to be fun to watch.
I love to see them come in to the cage and do it right? Where you bring the guy in and you do a face-off. I love that kind of stuff.
And McKee says after he takes the belt from Pitbull at 145, he's going to challenge him for the 155 belt.
I'm okay with that as well. So, Eddie,
and then let's see they do it a third time for both belts at the same time.
That one doesn't work as well. You can't really do that one.
It's Bellator. They can make up their own rules.
All right. So, Eddie, that was the main event in the co-main or in the fight before the main event. You had Jason Jackson, a guy who actually defeated.
Well done.
He defeated Benson Henderson back in November on a four-fight win streak. He defeated Neiman Gracie. You had Usman Nurmagomedov.
I'm not so sure about that one either. That was an iffy decision.
You didn't like that decision?
No, I did not. Nope. Neiman had the first two rounds, I'm pretty sure.
All right. You had Usman Nurmagomedov make his Bellator debut and defeat Mike Hamill. He looked real good. I like seeing him, the evolution of these Dagestani fighters. You've had Magomed Magomedov, another Russian fighter. He defeated CJ Hamilton by the second round. He did a second round submission. Now, this is not, Eddie, the same Magomedov that fought in PFL. This is a different one.
This is a different Magomed Magomedov?
This is a different Magomed Magomedov. He actually fought previously in Russia. He's 18-1. That one is a loss to Pyotr Yan, former UFC bantamweight champion. He actually does have a win. He was actually the only person to defeat Pyotr Yan as well. So they fought twice. They split those wins. Now we know the other loss Pyotr Yan has is to Aljamain Sterling. I know you're not just going to skip
Tyrell Fortune.
Yeah.
TKO and Jack May.
Well, I mean, that fight was supposed to be Matt Mitrione. And so, I mean, that was not as exciting, but sure.
But the release that Tyrell Fortune let go after he knocked him out, I mean, there was some bad blood. There was some trash talking. Apparently, Jack May had just been in his ear and in his Twitter feed for months leading up to this, even before they knew they were supposed to fight.
I mean, they only knew a week ago, right?
Yeah, but, you know, they had that no contest last year at some point. I believe it was low blow that ended the fight. So Jack May's just been in his feed for months now, just talking trash. And Fortune let him have it. In the opening bout on the main card, my girl Alejandra Lara, it's always great watching her come to the ring as she sauces in. You know, it's like literally like her own performance. And she lost to Kana Watanabe, but really, Watanabe just laid and prayed for two rounds. Lara was lighting her up on the feet, and then she just bored the crap out of us for the rest of the fight.
Yeah,
but if you can't get up, you can't win.
Eddie, how about the? I think you tweeted me at one point during the night. The other highlight got to be Mauro Ranallo's hair. What was going on with Mauro over there?
Listen, I asked you before about Stipe's hair. You're like, Eddie, you're making a big deal out of it.
Well, I mean, Stipe's hair now is similar to my hair. I don't want to feel bad about that, right?
Well, Morrow's is kind of similar to your hair, too. It's just a little just longer.
A little long. Probably me last summer during the pandemic, right?
And his hair was so jet black. I'm like, that's obviously a dye job. It's just long. It looked like a helmet. I mean, I don't want to, you know, disparage anyone's hair because I don't have any.
True, you don't.
But come on, man. You saw it.
You also wouldn't disparage anyone's height because you don't have any of that either.
No. But, you know, I can make those jokes because I'm the short one. So I can make those jokes because I'm the bald one. And
I can't.
That was weird.
Yeah.
That was weird.
All right. I like it. All right, Eddie. That's Bellator 255. Guys, you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
It's What's Up With That.
Woke up this morning and I got out of bed. Had a big old cup of coffee to clear my head. Been home for a while and that's where I'm at. But we can still jam on What's Up With That. Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up? Without you, yeah. Woo! Yeah.
And welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. I'm Eddie, that's Jordan. And Jordan, I was a little bit disappointed in this week's Saturday Night Live, hosted by Golden Globe winner Daniel Kaluuya. And not because of his performance or anything, but because I think the best sketches they cut out. I didn't even know they were there until I went online. I mean, man, the Beanie Baby sketch, that was good stuff.
I have Salt not. I gotta go find these now. Now you've sparked my interest, Eddie.
Yeah, man. Salt Bay, you know, the chef guy does the salt thing with his hand.
I will take your word for it there.
Yeah. There's another one with a Vietnam platoon where one guy accidentally volunteers to go off on a mission by himself.
Yeah, I mean, you're making it very, very exciting, so.
I am good at that, ain't I?
Yes.
You know what's really exciting, Jordan? UFC 262 in Houston just got a huge main event. This is a real co-main event, Jordan.
And it's historic. Eddie, it's a historic main event.
Tell them why.
It was announced last week that Nate Diaz would face Leon Edwards in the co-main event at UFC 262 in Houston. But this is where it's big, Eddie. This will be the first five-round non-title co-main event. So they're going to fight five rounds in a co-main event. It's not for a title. Leon Edwards coming in. Obviously, you know, he was off for like 19 months, fought Bilal Muhammad. We saw that eye poke in that second round. He is currently ranked third in the division. He's going to be fighting Nate Diaz, who isn't ranked at all, right? Nate Diaz last fought for the BMF title in November 2019. It was at UFC 244 against Jorge Masvidal. Obviously, it's a really interesting matchup, and it's a fun matchup. Anytime we see Nate Diaz, the possibility for you and I, right, to go and see Nate Diaz live, that's a win for us. But I don't know what Leon Edwards is actually gaining from fighting Nate Diaz. Now, you fight someone who's popular, and you're going to get eyeballs on you, so that is something that he gains. But he might not get a title shot over a win over Nate Diaz because he is ranked 12th. You think of someone like, and we'll mention some other fights later, Gilbert Burns and Wonderboy Thompson, Colby Covington always lurking out there, could always jump back in to a title shot because of his mouth. But, you know, so I'm not exactly sure what happens if Leon Edwards, is he guaranteed a title shot off of this win? But for Nate Diaz, obviously, this is huge. He's right at the top of the division if he wins this fight. He is somebody that would come in, beat the number three fighter. He has a name. You could totally see him fighting someone like a Kamaru Usman. Now, it wouldn't be a great fight, but so let's say Kamaru Usman beats Jorge Masvidal next month. They could do that. If Jorge Masvidal wins and beats Kamaru Usman, you would say, well, obviously, Kamaru Usman, one of the greatest welterweights, one of them, Eddie, I said one of them, not the greatest welterweight of all time, one of the greatest welterweights of all time, he automatically should get a rematch for the title. Not if Nate Diaz is out there. If Nate Diaz beats Leon Edwards and Jorge Masvidal wins, they're going to run that back for the BMF and the welterweight title.
Well, first off, I don't think Usman gets an automatic rematch if he loses the belt. He's only how many times has he defended the belt? Two times? Three times? That's not an automatic rematch.
No, I get it. But if you do lose it to Jorge Masvidal, a guy you already beat, you know, you would kind of think that maybe they do.
You might get the third
back,
one.
So,
but I think they'd They'd go for the big money fight over that, like you said. But what Leon Edwards gets from this is fame, notoriety. He gets people talking about him, which he can't get just being himself. And especially with that last performance he had, all you can talk about is an eye poke. You know, all you hear about is people won't fight him and he can't get to his fights because he's in England and can't travel because of COVID. So if he defeats Nate Diaz, all of a sudden, now he's the talk of the town.
He does get publicity. That's right. But I don't know if it's enough. Yeah.
Forget that Nate Diaz isn't ranked.
Yeah. I don't know if it's enough to get him a title fight, though, to have him. And it's not really jumping the line because he's earned it, right? He last defeated
Rafael Dos Anjos. But if you leverage it right, if you leverage it right, that's what you can do. But if you don't win, if you don't fight someone this kind of name value, you got nothing to leverage. Like beating Bilal Muhammad would have absolutely done nothing for him.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like three fights in a row, right? And the three announced fights, Khamzat Chimaev would have been another one that doesn't do a lot for you to win. It just puts you out there. I mean, obviously, this is the biggest name that's actually possible at 170 pounds, though.
Yeah, it's a smart move by Leon, I think. But now, and you know what? Despite the fact that the UFC wants to keep us awake all night long for this event, you know, what time do we usually get out of there, like 2:30 in the morning or something?
Those are late. We're going to have to get a hotel again, Eddie.
Yeah, we are. Sheesh. Are you going to take off at like 4 in the morning again?
No, I will not this time. I will. I do not have to. So.
All right. Warning, I snore. Anyway, speaking of Kamaru Usman and Jorge Masvidal, originally we thought they were going to be coaching the next season of The Ultimate Fighter, but UFC announced that will not be the case. What's up with that?
Well, yeah, well, we knew that once they announced that they'd be fighting next month, or actually this month now at UFC 261, that the UFC would go a different route for The Ultimate Fighter. Then we know that they're coming back. They're doing middleweights and bantamweights, and they're going to film it later this month. But they announced the coaches. Well, I mean, they've now told ESPN the coaches. It's Alexander Volkanovsky is going to coach against Brian Ortega. We thought this fight was supposed to happen at UFC 260 last month. But we know that Volkanovski had a really tough bout with COVID, and that is pushing back the fight. And actually, we don't even know when this fight is going to take place. Because if you think about it, if they do a season of tough, and then they wait till it airs, you know, we could be waiting until November, December for this fight to actually happen now. So this is actually going to delay the fight quite a bit. And that kind of ruins things for Max Holloway and other fighters at the... it definitely ruins my vote for who's going to be the champion at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. But in a way, it's kind of the COVID saving the UFC from themselves because they had stacked so many title matches in the last couple months. Now they take one of those and they're forced to push it back. And the date is indeterminate. So at some point, they're just going to say, hey, we need a main event here. Oh, look at this. We've got the featherweight title just waiting. And they're just going to pop it into place right there.
Yeah, but if you really think about it, I mean, if the fight happened last week, they could still put it back later on in the year at that same time anyways.
Depends on injuries, weird things could happen, you know. But now they have it just sitting there in the cupboard, just waiting to pull it out. And that's literally COVID saving them from their own stupidity. Now, the UFC may be targeting a rematch between Derek Lewis and Francis Ngannou, speaking of stupidity, instead of John Jones. What's up with that?
Man, we would think that the UFC would be smart, right? Put this together. Make John Jones versus Francis Ngannou. Take advantage of like a great fight that we can do. But
they're
it seems
so
like
cheap.
The UFC and John Jones are still far apart when it comes to negotiations. John said that he spoke with the UFC's lawyer, Hunter Campbell. And he said that, look, if you're anywhere near 8 to 10 million, that's going to be way too low. His coach, John Weekly, John came out and said that he thought maybe the price was closer to 50 million. Now, I don't know if he'll get 50 million. Maybe we meet somewhere in the middle. Obviously, John wants to get paid what he thinks he gets deserved, and he thinks that he was a bargain to the UFC. He actually came out and said that he made on average about $2 million per fight throughout his career. And so he wants the UFC to just come negotiate fairly, pay him what he's worth for this fight. He doesn't want to go try to make amends and like go back and make money. He wants to get his fair share of the fight for, you know, for this upcoming fight against Francis Ngannou, which, like we mentioned before, it will be a big fight, you know? It's going to do a million buys. It could do 1.5. If you promote it correctly, you have this arm called ESPN where you could actually just put this on. You know, you could have made these guys the coaches and you could have of Ultimate Fighter. And then you could have done 2 million buys, right? If you just get them more and more publicity, you could have made this fight huge. But instead,
I mean, if you do enough marketing in Europe and Africa, you could easily hit 2 million.
Well, I think, yeah, no, I agree with that. But that's really think about a domestic. Money on you really want that domestic, you know, the domestic buys. Last Thursday, though, this was the dagger for me, Eddie. John posted a tweet. He said, I just had a great dinner and the best conversation I've had with Dana in a very long time. We got the deal done. Date to be announced soon. UFC President Dana White responds, incredible night, brother. I woke up that next morning, Friday morning. I was so excited. And then I hear John tweet.
Yeah, you texted that to me.
I text you the cold-blooded. And once I found out that it was an April Fool's joke. John tweeted, it's still 11:42 here in New Mexico. Hope you all enjoyed April Fool's. So what do you think? Is Dana White, first off, do you think they had any conversation last week? Was there anything, were they ever closer? Is Dana White just, hey, John, he sees John do this and he's like, look, I'm going to dig even deeper on this.
I think there's got to be a little something going on for Dana to even jump in on this joke. Because, you know, he doesn't have much of a sense of humor.
I mean,
he thinks he's funny, but he's not.
I mean, John, it's almost like John thinks that he's being funny, and then Dana White comes in and like, joke's on you. I'm going to play along, you know, and then there's really the joke's on us because the fight is not happening yet. So
it really is on us. And it'll be a shame if it doesn't happen.
And it'd be a shame if they go. I mean, I guess you could do Derek Lewis versus Francis Ngannou in the meantime. Right.
I mean, it'll still be huge. Yeah,
that won't be huge. But I mean, it's still a good fight. And I still would favor Francis in that rematch. You know, I think he's not going to be as that mental block that he had that first time in the fight. And I think he would come back out. And I love Derek Lewis. You know, our show starts with Derek Lewis every week. Right. And we want him to be the UFC champion. But I unfortunately, I probably wouldn't favor him in the rematch with Francis Ngannou. ESPN's Ariel Helwani on Monday said that the UFC was looking to book it on, I think it was UFC 263 on June 12th, but said that that's too soon for Francis. Not because his body is hurt. I mean, he's probably still in great shape, but he probably, you know, he's got a lot of things going on. He's got to enjoy the spoils of being the champion right now.
Yeah, enjoy some time with that belt, man. Just sleep next to it, travel with it, you know, show it off to the family. Yeah, you got to enjoy this time there. But I saw where Derek Lewis came back when kind of sub or quote tweeted one of John Jones' tweets, and he said, expletive deleted, I'll do it for $8 million. And that's part of the reason that there's no union, because it's such an individual sport that they see this guy won't do it, I'll do it. Here, give it here. Instead of saying, hey, let's come together and we'll make sure that we all get paid fairly.
Well, I mean, and I think it was, oh man, you're
but also understand wanting to fight for $8 million.
Yeah, I don't know if it was. Oh, it was Derek Brunson. Derek Brunson tweeted about that he had mentioned, like, you know, definitely, you know, he's all for people getting paid. But whenever you have these conversations, it's, I need to get paid this much. It's never, hey, we collectively all together need to get paid. And the guys, when they're fighting for their checks, they're not fighting for everybody. They're really fighting for themselves. And Derek thought it said it really kind of interesting. You know, just because Conor started getting paid more, they thought originally that would make bigger checks for everybody. And it's not been the case.
And the thing is, Dana knows that if he pays John Jones this huge payout this time, he's going to have to keep paying him more for his subsequent fights too. So it's not just this one thing he's negotiating for. So if he pays him, you know, $25 million for this fight, if he wins the title, how much is he going to want to defend it?
Yeah.
You know? And so that's what Dana's fighting against.
And I get it, right? And you get both sides of it. And I like John Jones as a fighter, right? He's a great fighter.
Do you?
As a fighter, I think we all think that he is the greatest fighter of all time, right? He's not the biggest draw of all time. You know, even when, you know, he was at his best, he wasn't the greatest draw of all time. And it's just the matchup, right? I don't think he does the same. And let's say John goes in, he defeats Francis Ngannou, wins the title. Is a fight against Ciryl Gane as big of a fight? Probably not, right? Is it a $1 million buy? It's probably a normal John Jones pay-per-view. Right. And so, you know, if you're going to pay $25 million for the Francis Ngannou fight, just exactly what you just said. Right. I mean, you have to pay him for the title defense and everything else. And so it's a tough place to be in for all sides, because John wants to get what he's worth. But John needs to know that. And in general. Right. I mean, 18% of UFC pay, you know, fighter pay is not enough. Right. And so it's just a tough spot. And you kind of see both sides of the table. And you said it before, you know, UFC is cheap, but, you know, they're also a business. They got to figure it out for themselves long term as well.
Yeah, wait until they pull this IPO. It's going to get even worse. But speaking of Conor money, Dustin and Connor 3 is officially official for July 10th. What's up with that?
Yeah, so we know that Dustin Poirier, he was offered the title fight against Charles Oliveira at UFC 262. I would have loved to see that fight. Dustin Poirier fighting in Houston near Louisiana. That would have been fantastic. But he opted instead to run it back with Connor in the trilogy. Dustin signed the bout agreement last week. It was made official. Connor also came out and he said that he requested that the UFC make a McGregor belt. He suggested, hey, you could do it rose gold and rubies. It would be awarded to the winner. He also said he'd be open to yellow gold and emeralds. So, you know, Connor, he's flexible on however you want to make the McGregor belt. But I did like someone on Twitter asked, they asked Dustin Poirier, hey, what are your thoughts on winning the McGregor belt in a few months? To which Dustin quickly corrected him and said, I'll be defending that belt in 3 months. He feels like he's already won the McGregor belt back at in January.
Yeah, and here's an idea, Connor, Mr. $100 million. Make your own belt. How about that? Ric Flair did it. You can do it. What's it going to cost him, like $50,000, $75,000 at the most?
I think you have a misjudge of how much belts cost, but okay.
He's got, let me tell you, he's got watches that cost more.
No, that's probably true. Michael Chandler, he was also big. He said, I love the idea. I'd love to take that belt from both of them. So it works for me.
I say maybe some yellow gold and maybe some kind of purple diamonds for Louisiana. Never mind. Okay. Now, the Venom era, Jordan, starts this Saturday, UFC on ABC2. All I've seen so far is the top of the kit with the small logos on the chest. What's up with that?
Yes, Eddie. Welcome to the Venom era. So the Reebok era is over, although they're still going to be around for shoes. But according to UFC Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer Lawrence Epstein, the new Venom deal is actually going to add about $1 million annually to the pay scale for fighters. So previously with Reebok, champions in their fight week kind of incentives, they would get $40,000. Now they'll get $42,000. You've got title challengers. They will make $32,000, which is up from $30,000. Fighters who have 21 or more fights, they're going to get $21,000 instead of $20,000. And kind of so on down the road. So all the way down to a fighter who only has, in their first, you know, 1 to 3 fights, they're going to get $4,000 instead of $3,500. One thing that Epstein did say is that essentially the entire value of the Venom contract is just going to the fighters. Right. And they said, look, this is just, we think that it's actually better for us because it actually makes our sport look a little bit more uniform. And we like that look in it, but this is not a moneymaker. This was, and I think this was, you know, when they were selling the UFC, I don't think it was selling the Reebok deal, but I think it was selling this uniform. It looks more like a sport and it did make it a little bit more attractive, probably to potential buyers.
Now, haven't we heard that before, that all the money's going to the fighters? That didn't work out so well with Reebok, did it?
Yeah, and really it was, yeah, I mean, it didn't work out great. We also heard that the payout is going to be in, you know, cash, right? But also product as well. And that was the same with the Reebok deal also.
Yeah, don't trust it just yet. Well, we'll wait and see. I think maybe Tuesday or Wednesday they'll actually be presenting something. I think I heard that there was a countdown on their website to a big announcement. So hopefully we'll find out that by the time you hear this. Now, I don't even know how to broach this subject, Jordan. Over the weekend, a fighter lost a finger in the middle of a fight. Did you see this? What's up with that?
Yeah, this was actually on April Fool's Day. So this was Thursday night. And you would think, is this some sick April Fool's joke where a fighter is losing a finger, where over the PA, they're announcing, hey, can someone please find a finger? We've lost a finger.
How could it have gone through the cage or the ropes? What the?
That is the worst possible scenario. How do you lose a finger? So this is at CFFC 94, Thursday night. You got middleweight Khitaag Pliyev. He lost a finger in the middle of his co-main event bout with Devin Godal. So we started seeing tweets come out like, some dude lost a finger. And then we start seeing video of like, this is where, and like you, so John Morgan and CM Punk, they're the announcers for this fight. And they closed in during, between the second and third round. And you see like video, and you're like, oh, there's this guy's fighting. It's interesting. Oh, wait, he's missing a finger. Where is his finger? And you see like the video, and then you see like the image of him just like losing his ring finger. And
it's like the shocker.
So they made the announcement that they're looking for it. It turns out that, so Pliyev, they're going to they're going to appeal the loss, right? They say that Goodell was grabbing his gloves, which caused the that he was grabbing the gloves, which caused the finger to break off, and it was hanging on by a thread. And it turns out it was actually inside the glove. It was stuck inside the glove. So that's why they couldn't find it, because it wasn't around. It was in the glove.
I don't mean to laugh at this.
It's terrible. I mean, this is crazy. This is like the worst. Like, can you imagine you lost a finger? And you listen to Plea of Talk about it, right? He's like,
when you said hanging on by a thread, that I lost it.
I didn't want to. He's like, I didn't want to show, you know, I didn't want to look at it. I didn't want to show anybody that I was like in pain and show a weakness to somebody. But had I just put my hand up, you would have seen I don't have a finger on my hand. That's a problem. And so in the end, they were able to sew the finger back on. He's going to obviously have to do some physical therapy and like make a, I don't know. Is this guy going to be able to fight again? I mean, he wants to go to the UFC. I'll tell you, if I lost a finger doing anything, I'm probably not doing that sport again. I'm just going to be honest.
Let me tell you, Jordan. My granddad, he lost a toe working on a lawnmower. Okay.
I would never mow my lawn again. I'm done.
Right, right. My dad lost the top part of his ring finger working on a car. Uber. I have no idea what my dad was doing working on a car. He was a preacher, but he lost the top part of his ring finger working on a car. I'm afraid of what appendage I might lose, so I just stay away from pretty much anything with a blade.
Okay. That's good for you. I like that. So
yeah. New fights, Jordan.
All right. We got some bangers, Eddie. So Amanda Ribas is... This is not official yet. Fighting Angela Hill May 8th. I love it. All right. Damian Maia fighting Bilal Muhammad, UFC 263, June 12th.
Is that his retirement match?
That will be his final fight on his contract. If it's a retirement, I'm not sure, but it is the final fight in the UFC on his contract right now. Korean Zombie, Chan Sung Jung, fighting Dan Ige. Dan Ige gets his wish. Main event, fight night, June 19th. Cyril Gane fighting Alexander Volkov. That's another good, tough fight for him at the top of the heavyweight division.
You weren't kidding when you said bangers.
Yep. Gilbert Burns fighting Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. That's a meaningful fight, right, at the in the welterweight division. You've got the number two guy fighting the number five guy. So I love that. Chris Cyborg fighting Leslie Smith. Not a real banger. That was not that exciting the first time we saw it. But they're fighting.
Hey, Leslie Smith says she's been working towards this for the last couple of years. She says it's going to be different.
Yep. I mean, I'll believe it when I see it.
So. It's all different until Cyborg hits you in the face.
Yes. All right, Eddie. That's new fights. That's what's up with that, guys. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
Until next time. Hey. What's up with that? What's up with that?
Welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. Eddie, it is a huge week in combat sports. And guys, you can actually catch Eddie this week on Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. It's That's WrestleMania right. week, Eddie. And they'll be on this Thursday night right here on The Horn talking all things, gosh, NXT, WrestleMania nights 1 and 2. I'm excited. I'm going to listen to you this time, Eddie.
Are you? Look at you.
I will listen. I will support
finally contributing.
You. But on top of that, Eddie, we've got Wednesday night. We've got one on TNT making their North American broadcast debut. You got Bellator 256 on Friday night, the start of the light heavyweight Bellator Grand Prix, light heavyweight Grand Prix. You've got UFC on ABC2. Let's start right there. Saturday afternoon, Marvin Vettori fighting Kevin Holland. Really bummer, Darren Till broke his collarbone in training a couple weeks ago. Kevin Holland gets a chance to come back in, right that wrong for his career where he lost to Derek Brunson a few weeks ago. I actually heard him say he's probably not going to be talking as much during this fight. He's going to be listening in his corner. But this is a chance for him to erase that wrong, right? To get a chance to get back into the mix and to, you know, you could get a chance. If you beat Marvin Vettori, a guy who is ranked sixth in division, you're right back up there.
Well, it's also an opportunity for him to erase that whole Fighter of the Year thing he had by losing two in a row by fighting another wrestler.
Well, no, by all means. I mean, Marvin Vettori is tough. Marvin Vettori believes that he should be next for Israel Adesanya. You know, they fought before, right? And it was a matchup. I think it was a split decision win for Israel Adesanya. Marvin Vettori, probably after watching Jan Blachowicz, probably thinks that he has what it takes to beat Israel Adesanya. And he's not a nice guy, right? He's a mean-spirited guy in general.
And after watching Kevin Holland basically get held down for his last fight, what do you think Vettori's going
to
do?
Yeah, no, this has a opportunity, unfortunately, to not be the most exciting fight, right? Based on what we saw with Kevin Holland and Derek Brunson, Marvin Vettori knows how to wrestle. He knows how to keep someone down. And so that's a definite risk. But if you look at the rest of the card, Eddie, there's actually a lot of fun fights on this card. Now, it's really hard, right? You can't go back and be like, well, ABC on one, UFC on ABC 1 had Max Holloway and Calvin Kattar. Max Holloway broke all these kind of records for like the most, you know, punches, strikes thrown. And I mean, you're not going to do that.
That was a good one.
But Arnold Allen versus Sadiq Youssef, I like that fight. Sam Alvey versus Julian Marquez. I mean, Julian Marquez obviously coming off his biggest loss in his career when he failed to get Miley Cyrus to love him. He won the fight, but then he lost that whatever he was thinking to Miley Cyrus. You got Nina Ansaroff versus Mackenzie Dern. Kyle Daukaus.
Mom fight.
That's a fun fight. You got Mike Perry fighting Daniel Rodriguez. Jim Miller's
you're
on the
opening
card.
You're opening the ABC portion of the card with Mike Perry.
Golly.
Imagine that. Imagine not knowing what's coming on next, and next thing you see is Mike Perry singing Katy Perry or something.
Or doing like a chicken dance. You know, you never know with Mike Perry. So there's some definitely
hopefully the mic's not hot.
There are some fun fights on this card. I will be watching. I'm looking forward to it. Eddie, Friday night, though, we mentioned it's the kickoff of the Bellator Light Heavyweight Grand Prix. In the main event, and really this is unfortunately just kind of a main event card only. You got Ryan Bader, so you got the heavyweight champion, the former light heavyweight champion, fighting Lyoto Machida. This is a rematch, right? I think this is a rematch of a UFC fight. And do you know who won that fight when it was in the UFC?
I believe it was Machida.
I want to say it was Machida too. I'll check real quick. Yeah, it was a loss. Machida beat him back in 2012. And it was, he got knocked out in the second round. And so this will be interesting.
Prime Machida.
I've got to think that Ryan Bader is someone, you know, you want to see Ryan Bader go back. And I'd like to see him move on in this tournament. And he's really turned his career around since going to Bellator.
It would be good. But also I want to see Machida's success in Bellator too. And, you know, Bader's got the heavyweight championship. I want to see Machida go on and make some noise. And I get the feeling Bader's going to come forward and play right into Machida's hands. But yeah, in this card, like I said, it's really a one fight card, but you've got some names on there that the hardcores will want to see, like Liz Carmouche, Kat Zingano, Julia Budd, Adam Borix, you know, but not really, not too much to write home about.
No, I do like Adam Borix. So those are some fun fights there. Yeah. But so let's actually flip over Wednesday night. We've got one making their North American debut on TNT. This is the first of 4 weeks in a row, right? You got 4 weeks in a row of one on TNT. We're going to see Super Sage Northcutt. But tonight, on Wednesday night, we're going to see Adriano Moraes defend the one flyweight championship against Demetrius Johnson. And you think back, I mean, this was that trade, right? Demetrius Johnson traded for Ben Askren, who is now out of the UFC. You know, fighting against Jake
fighting
Paul,
tomato
which,
cans.
Which is crazy. Yeah. You got Eddie Alvarez fighting Yuri Lapikus as well in the co-main event. What do you think about this fight card on one?
It's actually kind of fun. You know, they're starting off with the TNT portion starting off with the Muay Thai fight. Eddie Alvarez, he thinks he's up for a lightweight title fight if he wins this match Wednesday. And then Demetrius Johnson, can he fulfill his destiny? This is what he was traded for. You know, one's already won the trade big time, you know. But he's had some rough go of it. I mean, he still won the flyweight tournament, the Grand Prix. But they brought it to him. And, you know, one, they don't do as much testing over there. So things are a little rougher over there.
Okay. Well, guys, stay tuned. You've got Justin. You've got Stu. You've got Eddie. Sports Guys Talking Wrestling coming up tomorrow on The Horn. And check us out, Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Be smart, get vaccinated, stay positive, and love your life. And if we ever didn't thank you, let us do it now.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.